Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Two Sundays ago, Renee and I watched a do-it-yourself video on how to trim raspberry canes in the late winter. It's a very helpful video. And then that afternoon, it was a nice day, and so outside we went, and it seemed to go quite well. We watched the video, and we thought, okay, now we know how to trim raspberry canes. Now, during the video, the guy on the screen was at one point tying the canes to the wires, right, so you could spread them out and they'd be more fruitful. And he said offhandedly, now you can use any knot you want. I like to use a square knot, whatever, and then he went on. Now, what would you think of us if we had watched the video and said, look what we learned. We learned what knots to use in tying raspberry canes. You would think the Gibbses don't know how to watch videos. You would think the Gibbses picked up on a small part of the video and sort of missed the main point. Now, I can't prove this, but I think it's fairly common to read Matthew chapter 4 and sort of miss the main point. I know it happens because I have an old sermon outline in my files that sort of misses the main point. So it happens. But I want to suggest to you that we miss the main point when we make Jesus' temptation into the wilderness, or in the wilderness, into a sort of an instruction on how we can resist temptation. Under this reading, Jesus then is mostly an example for what we are supposed to do. I want to suggest to you that this takes a possible minor emphasis of the reading and makes it into the main point. Now, to try to illustrate this, because this is a seminary crowd, which for all of your shortcomings, you are a crowd that has a higher average amount of Bible and theology in your brains. So let's just quickly, very quickly, answer two questions. Question number one, who is Jesus out there in the wilderness in direct battle with Satan? Who is he? The answer is he's the Son of God. That is to say, he is the people of God. Jesus is in himself Israel. Long ago, when God sent Moses to Pharaoh, he told him to say, Israel is my firstborn son. Let my people go. And then later the prophet Hosea, speaking for God, recalled that same event. And God says, out of Egypt I called my son. Now Matthew takes this teaching up and he gives to Jesus' identity as the Son of God a very profound corporate truth. Jesus sums up the people. He is Israel. In that sense, in this reading, he is the Son of God. First question answered. Second question, why is he out there? Obvious answer, because the Spirit led him. Yes, but why? It was because the people of God had failed in the wilderness. Israel was weak, tested by God. Out in the desert, they gave in. They murmured. They blew it. What they needed, whether they knew it or not, was someone to represent them, someone to take their place who wouldn't blow it. Jesus is out there precisely because Israel had failed, and they needed someone to take their place in the conflict with Satan. This means that Jesus is not an example for Israel to follow. In fact, he's following on the heels of their example, their terrible example. They did not learn to live on every word that comes from God's mouth. They were very happy to put God to the test. And at times it seemed all too easy to worship and serve some other God than the God who had loved them. So Jesus is not there as an example for Israel, neither is he there primarily as an example for us. No. This battle is too hard for you. that's not the main point. Jesus is not showing you how you can fight temptation. He is, in fact, doing battle with Satan because no one could fight that battle but Jesus. The battle consists of this: will you use your power, your vocation, your identity to make your life easier? In this broken and dying world, will you get along on bread that perishes or on the word that comes from the mouth of the Lord? And you know what Israel chose long ago, and you know what you've chosen over and over. But Jesus never chooses the path of least resistance. Not once in the face of the world's sin and brokenness. He depends on the provision of the Father here at the beginning, and he follows the plan all the way to the end. The battle consists of this: will you wonder whether God's ways are right? Will you wonder whether God can be trusted? Will you try to dethrone him by putting him to the test? You can't win that battle. You've already lost it many times, just as Israel did. But Jesus never doubts, never, not even in the garden when he knows the plan and he doesn't want it. He never doubts, not once. The battle consists of this: who are you with? Whom will you serve? To whom do you belong? This is the greatest battle of all. Now here we are today, baptized, confessing that Jesus is Lord. And so yes, of course, yes, by grace we worship the God of Israel, the only true God, and his Son and the Holy Spirit. But how many times have I made that first small step towards idolatry? How many times have I taken one poisonous taste toward repudiating the God whose I am? That battle is too hard for you. But Jesus never does anything or says anything or even thinks anything apart from the Lord his God. Here at the beginning of his ministry in the desert, the battle with Satan is joined, and Jesus wins. He wins. He turns the dry, shifting sand of failure into a solid, unshakable place of faithfulness. And that, in fact, is why we are here, why we are looking on, watching the battle that is not us to fight, ours to fight, but his. Because he won. He won. There in the desert, later in the garden, all along the way that led to the glorious battle on the tree. And then bursting forth in a victory that he won for you and he won for me. We're watching, all right, but it's not so that we can become like Jesus. It's so that we can belong to Jesus. We can be with him. We can stand with him to this very day. It's not show me how to resist temptation. It's show me the faithfulness of Jesus for us all. Baptized, we say, Jesus defeated the accuser, and he can accuse no longer. Jesus lives, and he is the king over sin and Satan and death, and I am free. I have a new life. Out in the desert, Jesus did it, in the garden, on the cross, out of the tomb, and up to the Father's right hand. Baptized, we say, I'm with Jesus. I'm standing with the faithful one. That's the main point. Jesus is the main point. But there is help also for when Satan comes at you, when Satan comes at you to try to get you to stop caring, to pull back and to play it safe. Here's what you do. You say to Satan, no, go away. I'm with Jesus. I'm standing with the faithful one. And when the tempter tells you that the person who crossed you, who contradicted you, or thwarted your plan deserves to be written off and assassinated in your heart, then you say, no, go away. I'm with Jesus. I'm with the faithful one. And when Satan tempts you to discouragement, to wondering whether it's worth it all after all, just play the video. Just play the video and watch the video of faithful Jesus for you. And to the question, is it worth it? We say, yes, it is. We will not lose heart. We are with the faithful one. We are standing with Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.